I ask y'all about God.
He the only way.
It don't sound like he the only way. You know it, then stand up and shout it out. He the only way. I don't know no other way to get there but by him. The world says a whole bunch of stuff. Come on, you can't be afraid to shout out God's word. You can't be afraid to know that you know that you know what you're talking about. Amen? Amen. It ain't about being scared. He didn't give us the spirit of what? Yeah. That's right. So if he didn't give it to us, who gave it to us? So why you keep taking stuff you don't want? Huh? Be bold. Proclaim. Know who you know. I don't know about y'all, but I walk with authority because I know Jesus the Christ.
All right.
Ain't nobody higher than that. You know, so you got to act like that. People say, well, you know, I'm just a, you ain't just a nothing. You are a child of the living God, not a dead God, but a living God. In other words, he gives you breath every morning. More than that, he coming back for you. Buddha ain't coming back for nobody. All he wants you to do is rub his belly. Come on now, we got to know who it is that we serve. Time for this old ticking stuff going on, and people talking about, you know how we shuck and jive. And I don't know, no, stop hemming and hawing and say he's Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You know, you greet somebody and let them know, yeah, how you doing? I'm a believer. Ooh, yeah. What? You a what? I'm a believer. I just want you to know I'm a believer. That's in case you want to ask some stuff, some silly stuff. Because, you know, every time I get around guys were talking about, yo, man, she sure is fine. So maybe if you come out and say, hey, well, how you doing, man? My name is Ryan Johnson. I'm a believer. Well, I guess I won't talk about that stuff no more to him. You know, because, I mean, if you instigate it and open it up, you might not have to deal with so much you got to deal with. But we just stay quiet. How you doing? Right here, Ryan. I'm Ryan. How you doing? Yeah, what's up, man? Man, she sure is fine. Yeah, you know, she is kind of fine. No, man, let them know who you belong to. What the world says versus what the word says, open up to 1 Samuel. We're going to deal with some integrity today. 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, starting with the very first verse. Dr. Morton gave y'all a clinic, and I've done it myself. If ever you in question on where 1 Samuel is, look in your table of contents. It'll help you from fumbling and flipping. Matter of fact, it'll show you how smart you are. They'll be like, wow, they know what that book is. Yeah, they all went to that table of contents. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody's with me. Well, I know everybody ain't with me, but it's all good. 1 Samuel chapter 12 reads, and Samuel said unto Israel, unto all Israel, let's make that clear, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, Palmer, and behold, gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood until this day. That could be kind of like us, though, huh? You gray-headed, and I've been a child in your arms. Amen. Can you still hold me? Can you pick me up? Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hands. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand? And they answered, he is witness. I want to talk about integrity. Integrity is that thing that makes you do right when no one's there.
All right.
Samuel is about to go away. But he's coming down to clear the air if there's anything that's in it. If I've done anything to you, he's called it on the carpet, you name it. Since I've been here from my birth, have you found any reproach in me? How many of you done that? How many of you went to somebody and say, look, if I have wronged you in any way since the time that I've known you, I'm bringing it up right now so that we can get it all rectified. That's when you're not afraid to call yourself out. But the only way, or the only real reason why you're not afraid to call yourself out is because you know that your integrity is intact. You know that from the best of your knowledge and ability, you have stood, stand, and firm on God's word. As righteous as you possibly can be. And so Samuel faces them, and what is their reply to him? Now, they said the people replied. In other words, Israel, not just a few, not some of the leaders, but everyone who stood there won't have nothing against you. There is nothing that you've done to us. Now, that's a lot of years Samuel has been around. And that's why he is known as one of the greatest leaders, because his integrity was always intact. See, even though people don't see you, who still sees you? And so when you can become a man or a woman of integrity and do what is right, no matter what the situation, you can always walk with your head held up high. See, we don't have little people around us who patrol us. I know some wish they did. But there's nobody going to tell you not to go into that bar. Because normally those you hang with is the one who invited you to the bar. Because you ain't going to hang around those who would keep you away from the bar. Am I right? There's nobody going to tell you not to go over that woman's house, even though you know she ain't your wife. Because if they did, you wouldn't let them hang with you, because the ultimate reason why you're going over there is because you got some dirt on your mind. And things ain't being taken care of at home. And so therefore you feel as though it should be done somewhere else.
All right.
But integrity says, get the house right. See, little people around us wouldn't even help us. Because eventually we would get tired of the one saying, that's wrong, that's wrong, you're wrong. We go, boy, here we go again, you know you're wrong. Listen to this story. A golfer needed a boost of integrity. His name was Brian Davis. While chipping out of a difficult spot, he noticed something move. Rather than ignore the movement, he asked to see a replay. After viewing his stroke, in slow motion, he discovered he had moved a reed. He called a two-stroke penalty on himself and lost his desired PGA victory. Now, nobody's seen it. Nobody would question it. But his integrity wouldn't let him hold up to that, because it would mean that I won by cheating. And so he assessed himself a two-stroke penalty, which took him out of the game, and if you know golf, out of the money. But he had to live with the fact that he knew something nobody else knew. But integrity is more important. Well, I'll read another story for you. Years ago, a person made a pledge to a capital campaign. He hated commitments, and he couldn't find anything on the pledge card that said maybe. You know how we like to find that. Church said, you ask for a pledge, like the building fund. You ask for a pledge, and they say, okay, I pledge to give this. But we play pledge. We ain't ripped for real pledge. We play. And so he was kind of play pledge. So the campaign is drawn, well, he said like this, I wrote in my pledge amount, and then I wrote, if the Lord willing. The campaign is drawing to a close, and I still have part of that pledge unpaid. My flesh wanted to say, I guess the Lord wasn't willing. Then I read Numbers 30:2. It says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. He finishes to say, I will be writing a check today to finish that pledge. Do you have an outstanding promise you need to honor? See, in other words, even though he knew what his pledge was, and they knew to who he pledged to, nobody else knew. And so if he did not fulfill his pledge, who cares? Well, integrity says, I care. Because I put my word out there. And I made a vow to the Lord that I would honor my word. So now, if you can't even honor your word between you and the Lord, your word ain't worth too much to anybody else. Because you don't value your relationship with God. Say, Reverend, what if it ain't about church? It don't matter. It's integrity. If you promise to give something and then you don't give it, your word ain't what? Squat. So how can anybody trust you? Why should anybody trust us? Because we don't even trust who? Ourselves. Do y'all remember the VA scam about 10 years ago now? When millions of dollars were stole from dead vets, they was resurrecting them with their Social Security number and doing hefty disability claims, and they was getting millions and millions, and they was buying submarines and all kind of stuff, just getting money. Well, I was in the same office as these individuals, and one woman had approached me one time. And I was like, I don't know, but that don't sound like my kind of stuff. You know, she was looking for a mark. Approached me, but that didn't happen. I didn't think nothing of it. I just knew I wasn't, you know, I won't hang with y'all. Well, when all this came out, the only reason they was caught was because two deposits hit a bank the same day for the same amount, totaling $50,000. And somebody finally questioned it. Now, their job, or our job, was to pay veterans disabilities for the injuries they had incurred. But as you know, with the government, it takes a long time for the process to go through. So we end up writing big retro checks of 30, 40, 50, and 60,000. So nobody would really question a $50,000 check coming from the government. But when you had two deposits hit on the same day, the bank had to notify somebody. My point is that even though they were under the working of the government, they had integrity issues. Because even if you know you can get some fast money, the bottom line is you got to cheat somebody to do it. See, when you have integrity, that means you have power. power over something. And when somebody lays something in your lap, it's because they what? Trust you. And as a person of integrity, I don't want anybody to think they can't what? Trust me. See, right now we have an issue with a pastor's integrity. An abuse of power is on the table. Now, he ain't the first, if he is guilty, and he won't be the last. Because whether it's young boys or young girls, the fact is they are abusing their position of authority, but the only reason they have it is because people believe in their integrity until it's torn down. The only way your integrity gets torn down is because you allow it to be torn down because you give in to the whims of the world. See, the world says you don't need integrity. Just do whatever you got to do to get to where you want to be. The world says that you are above the masses. Right. See, the world don't hold you accountable for anything. But as long as you keep believing that, if you're dealing with God in God's house, God is going to flip the table on you. Yes, see, you think you're getting away with it. We think we cool. We think we, oh, yeah, I got this. Yeah, I'm getting all this money. I'm making millions of dollars. Don't nobody ever going to know about it because everybody I'm making money for, they all dead. But God knows. Saints, Christians, those who proclaim Jesus, ride or die. But when it comes down to it, you don't even know who he is. You don't know who called you riding in it. You sure ain't dying for nobody. So we got to stand on God's word. Samuel, no matter what the situation, Samuel had no ill against him. The whole nation say, you straight. Even as God is our witness, you don't owe us a thing. And you have done no wrong in your entire time leading us. We need more leaders like that. Not just from the pulpit, but in the homes. Father leadership, mother leadership, teachers, business people. The reason why businesses go bad is because of integrity. I told y'all before, I used to be a limousine driver. A limousine driver, my job, man, I've been everything. So I'm just letting you know, I got a story for everything. Because God knew I was going to preach for him one day. So let me give him a bunch of stories. That's what you're talking about. I've been in the world. So I come out of the world. I can tell you what was in the world. And I can tell you there's a better side outside of the world. But I was a limousine driver. And see, when you deal with God and you deal with integrity and you deal with issues and you deal with stuff, even in your workplace, you got to determine how much integrity. What? I did say how much. Because we all got a limit to how much integrity we really trying to be involved in. So I was tasked one night to take a bachelor party to the strip club. Now, I'm a preacher. Right? I got a second job on the side, driving folk around, making good money. They told me to take them over to the strip club. It's my job, right? They're paying me to do that. But right there, my integrity started to...
You had a problem.
And there's a problem with a preacher taking somebody to a strip club, even though it's his job. Now, mind you, I could have passed on the assignment. But when I was in the world, I frequented a strip club. So my thing was, I ain't going in, right?
I ain't going in, just
fine. I'm going to take them over here. So I get the bachelor party, and it was a nice paycheck that night. I go, and I take them up, and I drive up to the strip club, and my passengers start embarking. They start getting off. All right. And then a guy walked up from the strip club and said, how many you got? You know me, I started thinking at that point. Now, why are you asking me how many I got? Now, I think it's about 16 or 17, but it's a 22-passenger bus. I got 22. You know, I ain't think nothing of it after I said it until he started flicking out money. I said, well, what's up? Oh, yeah, we pay when y'all bring it. We pay for it per head. I said, oh, yeah, 22. Old integrity is shaking. It got shook now. You know, I'm trying to pay some bills here. I got some food. I got to put some food on the table and some mortgage over my head. The preacher, they don't let me preach. I don't preach but once a month or once every 6 months. And then they don't give me but $100. I'm sitting right here on some good money. And so 22, I may have fudged by 3 or 4. I can't really remember. But when the money hit my hand, I smiled. I said, wow. And then I had an idea. I said, well, it was that easy. Why don't I just go pick up some old folk and just keep dropping them off until these crew get ready? You see what happens when you're not fully connected? See, I was a preacher. I was a young preacher. All right? And I wasn't fully connected. I didn't even know why God called me in the first place. But he had some issues to still work out in me. Because let me tell you this. After I got the money, I realized I couldn't go pick nobody up. But I had a mind for every Friday to make a run. I had a mind to make a run so I could make that money and take it back to the house. Not caring where it came from. Integrity cares where the money comes from. Integrity makes you say, no, brother, I don't need none of that money right there. Integrity says, I'm going to pass on this trip because it's against my beliefs. I've been there. I know what it does. But no, I just fell into it. I took the money. And then, since I was that close, and I had a pocket full of money, the preacher walked in. I'm just going in to save folk. You see how you start talking to yourself? They've given me free Coke because I'm a driver. So I said, well, I just sit here on the edge of the bar stool, kind of just watch and wait for my crew. I began to just tell myself all kind of stuff. And my integrity went from up here to... Now the question becomes, what if somebody in the congregation had saw me? Then the integrity goes way down. So I hadn't yet learned what Samuel had learned. See, we try our best to cut corners, to make ends meet without meeting God. Once you meet him, and I mean meet him. See, he called me, but he had some more work to do in me because I still had some issues to deal with. In other words, I wasn't ready to lead or really preach his word yet. He knew there were some rough edges that needed to be smoothed off, but in the process of me doing what I did, he could speak to me. And I knew, he said, that's wrong. He said, you should not be doing that kind of stuff. And I'm in love, but yeah, but that's my job. That's my job. He said, well, come on, keep reading in the word about your job. And the more I began to dig into his word, the more I realized that I was living against what I was reading. God is teaching us. See, integrity comes through experience. Because number one, you don't want to fail anybody, especially in God. So right now, the bishop is dealing with his own integrity and his relationship with God. Because see, somewhere along the lines, if he is guilty, his relationship got cloudy because of all his clout. of who he is and who he is to everybody. He helps presidents. He talks to dignitaries. He can do whatever he wants without anybody questioning him. Don't think he the first. Let me call you David. A man after God's own heart, but David's integrity was on the table. I'm sorry, was on the balcony when he went over and saw Bathsheba. Not only that, because his integrity was in question, was an issue, he tried to hide the fact by killing a man. Bishop ain't by himself. So while we sitting there slinging swords and shooting arrows, look at your own backyard. And make sure your integrity holds up. Make sure you stand up to the pressure that's coming to you from out there, because they're coming from all sides. The only thing that makes us better than our pressure is the God that we serve. Because see, whenever I can lean on him. See, if I would have leaned on him while I was a driver, I would have told the other man, I can't do certain kind of trips. Number one, that was a part of who I was, so I definitely can't dabble in that no more, because it's still inside of me.
All right.
Huh? All things become new, yeah, but them issues are still close behind me. And so because I know that, it keeps me running, because I don't want none of them issues to catch me. You follow what I'm saying? You're never above what you've been through.
Yes, sir.
It's only the Holy Spirit that rises you above what you've been through. And so if you don't tap into the Spirit, then you can't stay above the mess. As long as the Spirit is not involved, you're going to be right in the mess. I can tell you to this day, now, my integrity, it's up. And I watch it like a hawk, but I can still fail. Whenever I go to Atlanta, there was a favorite club I used to like to go to. And it's right off the freeway. Now, when I'm in my car and I'm driving, the first thing that comes in my mind when I enter the Georgia State lines is a strip club. So, you know, your wife ain't here, ain't nobody around. You ain't got to preach till Sunday, but the club is there on Friday.
Yeah.
They open up at noon. Surely ain't no church folk up in there. Why don't you just hop on in?
Yeah.
Integrity says, no, get away from me.
Uh-huh.
No, because I realize that me walking in there damages my integrity, not only with the people that I serve, but with my God. So that means that we have an obligation to serve him first. If you put him first, other things will pass away.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you this. If I don't put him first, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. And see, I know this. And that's what keeps me out of trouble. See, it's when you get so highfalutin that you think nothing can touch you anymore. You know, folks say, yeah, I bind Satan up. But you don't even, how you going to bind who you don't know? You done heard somebody else talking that mess, and somebody, this is so-and-so, and somebody done prophesied here, so you feel like you're going to try some of that stuff. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're going to bind him up till he's right in your pocket. Everything you do is because he wants you to do it. You got to know who God is. You got to know who your enemy is. You got to know where your weaknesses are. You're the former crackhead. You sure can't go into no crack house. Come on, I'm coming to save. Save who? Save some crumbs left over? You can't walk into a bar and say, just give me a virgin this. Because the next virgin ain't going to be so virgin, is it? Because you're going to look around and your list going to get that, this might be all right. You got to know where you are weak at. And if you are weak, you got to stay away because your integrity is an issue. If listen, hold on. If I was the bishop, and this mess passes, I'd make sure I was never alone with anybody other than my wife.
Don't
And I'd have one on this side, one on that side, and one watching this one and one watching that one to make sure I was straight. You understand me? You can't put yourself in a position where you may fall or you could be caught on a carpet for falling even if you never fell. Because they got folks who lie in the church too. They do got folks with some ill-gotten game. I'll make your life miserable. That's another reason why I don't fool with nobody. Don't fool with nobody. I don't want no crazy woman calling up my house. Talking about, yeah, Reverend me. No, Reverend, you ain't do nothing. So the problem is that when you abuse the power and somebody gets all into you, and that's they think, well, you know, he loved me. There ain't no love, it's lust. Yeah. If I engage in something beyond my marriage, it ain't got nothing to do with love. Let me help you out. You ain't replacing nobody. And so since I know this, I stay out and I stay above because I fly with the Spirit, so the mess is below me. That's integrity. Integrity says that when you're all alone and you by yourself, how you going to handle yourself? Ain't nobody looking. Ain't nobody watching. That's when integrity kicks in. See, was while y'all can see me, I can make that look good. I can walk tall, stand high. I can talk right. But what happens when the kids are gone and my wife gone? I'm home all by myself. What happens then? When integrity comes into question between you and the Lord. And you say, well, ain't nobody here. Well, when you worship God, he's always there.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that when you were born, the Holy Spirit entered you. And so if the Holy Spirit is on you, don't you realize you ain't never by yourself? So even if you may be tricking man, you ain't never tricking God. And what is done in darkness will come to light. And so the problem is, and the reason why I'm so scared, because I don't want no light turned on no darkness, so therefore I stay out of the darkness and stay in the light, so therefore I can stay out of trouble, so I ain't got nothing to say, I ain't got nothing to hide, I ain't got nothing to lose, I ain't got nothing to cover up. Because ain't nothing worse than trying to cover up something and you forgot how you covered it up the first time. So integrity stands alone. Each and every individual has to have integrity for everything they do. The way they walk, the way they talk, how they operate in business, out of business, with family, with non-family. You should be the same inside and out and not a hypocrite. Because when you don't have integrity, you're a hypocrite. The world says, do whatever you want. Get to wherever you want to get. The word says, you got to answer to God. You got to stand before the throne. It said, only what you do. That's integrity, man. That's integrity. So when you are counseling somebody and you happen to be another opposite sex, you are by yourself. Your integrity says, even if they try something, that's not me. All right, I'm here to pray for you. Anything else, I got to go. Integrity keeps you right there. I don't care how fine she is. I don't care how fine he is. Integrity says, I come to pray, brother. I come to pray, sister. If anything else is on your mind other than that, I'm out. You got to hold that. When you're sitting there talking to people, and you, especially husbands and wives, and y'all have issues at home, and you go talk to the opposite sex about your husband or about your wife, that's the issue. Because all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure. Because I was a guy once who had somebody come to me. I told you I'd have been through just about everything there is to go through. And she confided in me. I confided in her. She told me, you know, my divorce is almost final. But after talking for a while, we developed a relationship. Now, one of my golden rules was, even though I was out there, was never fool with a married woman. But she kept talking. And we kept getting closer. And then the inside started turning. And then the male ego struck in. Well, you know, I can fix that. Now, you say you're getting divorced, right? Absolutely. Needless to say, I committed adultery. But I thought it was cool because I wasn't preaching that. Just had to let you know. How many issues did you have? But I still had my upbringing. I still had my background. So I still knew who Jesus was. And I still knew what I wasn't supposed to do. But I let myself fall into it because I played too close to the edge. Then I got a phone call one night. She talking about she was pregnant. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to handle what I got to handle, so there ain't no sweat about that. She said, no, well, it ain't that simple. I said, well, what do you mean it ain't that simple? She said, well, I kind of slept with you and him. It was his birthday. What I was supposed to do? I said, oh, wow. I said, I see why God said, don't covet another man's.
That's right.
You know, because what she said was true. Because she hadn't divorced, it was still her husband.
Yeah.
You know, and so in other words, now I'm sleeping with her and everybody else he didn't sleep with and all that other kind of stuff. And so I could have been in a situation where not only did I could have got an STD or something, but the fact is I was living dangerously because my integrity was nowhere to be found. Then she called me back and said, well, you know, well, I told her that night, I was like, well, that's it for me. I ain't no fool either. You know, we done. But then she had twins. I was so thankful that it was his and not mine. Because that's how God pays you back. You want to do something in darkness? I got some heavy price for you to pay. You don't want God to come collecting. You know, you got to straighten that stuff out. Straighten it out quick. If you're doing some stuff right now that's against your integrity, against God, straighten it out. One thing I do know about God is that he gives you time to get it right before he comes collecting. He warns you and he warns you. He deals with you because he's inside of you. He's letting you know, get it right, fix it, because I'm coming. And I don't want to catch you not prepared when I get there. You understand what I'm saying? Fix the situations. Restore your integrity.
Yes, sir.
And so when you approach somebody like Samuel approached somebody, you can, if there's anything, let me fix it now. But they should say, when you finish what you said, man, I got nothing against you. Everything you did for me, you did above reproach. And I thank you for being the man of God I asked you to be. I thank you for being a woman of God. I thank you for being a husband. I thank you for being a wife. I thank you for all you've done. Because the only thing that makes us, the only thing that makes us, for me and Deacon Hawkins and anybody, is our integrity. That matches us up together. But as long as we each maintain our integrity, can't nobody fool with us. I can walk through any door. I can walk through any state. I can go anywhere with no issues. You understand what I'm saying? Because then now I'm at a point where I carry myself where I know if ain't nobody else watching, God is. And the very first sermon of this series, I told you, he said, I am that I am. Now, if you can get around that, then you can fool with your integrity. But until you get around I am that I am, that settles it. The first thing in the verse first of Genesis said that God is. I can't get around that. And I don't expect you to either. And I don't care how hard you try. And I know some of y'all are trying. Because don't nobody want to be accountable. Don't nobody want to be accountable. They want to come in on Sunday, hear it, and go home. Once you hear it, I'm sorry to tell you're accountable for it. So you might say, boy, I should have never came to this service. Today, I had this person I was supposed to meet. Now I got to deal with my integrity. Rev done messed me up yet another week in a row. It ain't Rev. It's God. God is talking to all of us to live right so that when the time comes, you won't have four accusations about you messing around with other folk. Because if you do what God told you to do, let me help you out. You ain't got time for nobody else. Because God keeps us plenty busy if we're really doing his work. Amen? The world says, do whatever you want. The word of God says, stand on your integrity. Stand firm in him. Because he is the only one. The only one, the only way to meet the Father. And for those who stand with integrity, he's coming back for us. And you want it to be intact. Amen?
Amen.
Doors of the church are open this morning. If you have not found Jesus as Savior, I invite you to come. I can't save you, but he can. I can point you to the cross. He can carry you the rest of the way. Jesus' integrity stayed intact no matter what the situation. He showed us how to live, and he showed us how to die. He also showed us how to get up again. So just because you may make a fall, you can get back up. Because that's the God that we serve. David fell, but he got back up. Moses fell, but he got back up.